Do you recognize the song playing in the background? Plays every hour on the hour as part of our flagship station ID. If you do recognize this song, chances are less than 1 in 12 that you have donated to CITR. That means 11 out of 12 of our regular listeners are getting our content for free. So naturally, we called local businesses to see if we could get that kind of a deal. Here's how things went when we called Duffin's Donuts.
Hello, Duffin's Donuts.
Hi, I was wondering if I can get 12 pupusas, but just pay for one of them.
Like, do we owe you?
Owe you cinnamon rolls?
No, you don't owe me. I was just seeing if, like, that was a deal I could make.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe in 20 years?
In 20 years?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Okay. I was hoping for it now, though, but...
No, 20 years later.
20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll try in 20 years.
You can show your support right now on your mobile device or computer by heading to citr.ca/donate or in person and over the phone during our annual fundraising week, February 28th to March 7th. Donate to keep CITR weird.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. This is Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. We are listening to CITR right here on the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. This is right after Nordwar, the Human Serviettes show. And to start off today, we got a couple tracks from a friend of the show, Stone Cold Finger. Just an explicit warning on both of these. First, we got Wishes, and then we got 26 Live. And this is off of his new album, Street Spirit Fade Away. Enjoy.
Sweep it up like witch. I was with my bitch and she said she liked my twist. Baby, take a picture, cause I'm about to ditch ya. Niggas smoking swishes, fuck a silver spoon. I just got these platinum dishes, wishes. Rest in peace to Civic.
Yep.
Stuck up in my thoughts, pushing through my vision. Nigga on the block, dreams is getting vivid. Mama said I'm lost when that 50 turned to million. I should do it for the cause. Ay. Young Stone Cold got his tore it up the sock. Take it out and park. Flip it out and drop it. Change your auto shop.
Ooh.
Story never end. I ain't really need the plot.
Nah.
Sweep it up like witch.
I
was with my bitch and she said she liked my twist. Baby, take a picture, cause I'm about to get ya. Niggas smoking swishes.
Yeah.
Fuck a silver spoon. I just got these platinum dishes.
Whoa.
Wishes.
Whoa. Skull down a stone. I was trying to grow. Trying to get some more. Blessings all I know. Diamonds dancing on the flow. Water watch a pole. Why this level when I glow? Said the kid just turned to ghost. Still be screaming fuck the Pope. I ain't seeing him no more, cause he be doing the most. Boy, I send it to the stars. If it's hands you trying to throw. Yeah, I'm going pretty far. Got a long ass way to go.
Sweep it up like witch. I was with my bitch and she said she liked my twist. Baby, take a picture, cause I'm about to ditch ya. Niggas smoking swishes. Fuck a silver spoon. I just got these platinum dishes, wishes.
26 Live.
Like Cobain, feel no pain. Just a cold rain, never had a nosebleed. Now ain't no thing, falling off the proceeds. Watch me go beast, XXYZ, south, northwest, east. Take a day trip, turn to vacay. On a Wednesday, was the next day. With your bitch ass, sipping Jet Sane. Out the pin blast, we in first class. Watching clouds pass, got the drop out. Watch me hop out, I be lost now.
Stone cold, nigga, see me new phone.
Gotta go,
nigga, see me on the road. I even know a nigga see me with the coat.
Gotta go
with the bros. This is stone cold, nigga, see me new phone. I just gotta go, nigga, see me on the road. I even know a nigga see me with the coat. I be with the bros. Now.
10 toes,
gold toes.
Gotta go, go. Gotta go.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Word on the Street. You just heard a couple songs by a friend of mine, Stone Cold Finger. You heard Wishes, and then you heard 26 Live. And today, we're going to talk about a few things. First, we're going to start off with a talk we've been through a few times, but we got some new members and some new voices, and we want to talk about art versus artists. So I'm going to kick it off with something that happened about 24 years ago yesterday. Tupac, a lot of people love Tupac, but a lot of people don't talk about some of the controversy that he was involved in. So about 24 years ago today, he was sentenced for sexual assault of a fan. And I just read an article by the New York Times about this and how when he was in court and he was on trial, he was very forgiving, even though he never said, "I did it." He always said, "Oh, I didn't do it." And they've done interviews with the victim 20 years later and all this stuff. But as you know, after this, after 1994, he was still big. 95, until he was killed about a year later. And I just want to talk about a bit, where's the line? Is there a line with separating art versus artist? Can you separate art versus artist at all? When is it too far? When doesn't it matter? So does anyone want to talk about their thoughts about this?
It's so risky taking the first
step into just go thing. For it. Anything. Yeah. Anyone.
So I think, like, for me, art is, once an artist has produced something, it's sort of out there. It's sort of out there for anyone to experience. And it's hard to, for me, like, keep it together. And, like, it comes from, like, one perspective of, like, what an artist intended his art to be or her art to be, I don't think is important. And an artist's affiliation with their music, I don't think is important. Like, I think once it's out there, it's for you to enjoy. That being said, if someone's going to benefit commercially from you supporting their music and you don't think they're a good person, I can definitely see trying to step away from that. Like, yesterday I was listening to some old music to, we're going to talk about Guilty Pleasure songs later, sort of think about that, and I listened to some Chris Brown songs, and I was like, man, should I really be listening to this on Spotify if he's getting, and yeah, I'm getting shakes of heads in the background here. So, like, it's, so it's very difficult for me to, like, sort of, like, have those two things, like, sort of be weighing on an artist, and whether it's, like, whether their art is distinct from them, but also, like, still be supporting them can be a bad thing if they're not a good person.
On the similar notes, I think, like, for me, it's kind of interesting. We've already had these discussions, but even since then, I still haven't, like, it's hard to come up with, like, a final answer internally to, like, what's the right thing to do, because I think it's easier to, like, quote-unquote cancel artists who I don't care about, like Chris Brown, for example. Like, I'm much bigger, say, Frank Ocean fan, so, like, straight up, of course, like, totally disregard Chris Brown for the rest of my life easily. But if, for example, like, somebody I cared more, for example, like, when the Aziz Ansari article was posted, like, I just finished watching, like, Master of None, like, recently, and I really liked the show. So it's a lot more, like, personally, like, morally challenging, and, like, even, I guess, somewhat emotionally, because then it's, like, it's less of, like, an external, like, rational, like, this is what X person did, and this is, like, what my outcome or my actions can have on it. Because, like, you've now, like, connected to this art. So, and in that sense, it's like, okay, I'd like to think that I can separate the art and the artist, but I don't know if I can still, like, allow myself to, if, as, like, we pointed out, like, they could still be benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it definitely is a lot. I like that point you brought up about the whole Aziz Ansari situation. Is, like, crossing the line, but drawing the line between art versus artists has a lot to do with, like, your personal experience with that art, and, like, how much of connection you have with that art. Like you were saying, you can just disregard Chris Brown because a lot of, like, for me personally, a lot of the party songs I know from Chris Brown are just those, like, those hot singles, those party songs that I don't listen to, right? But when you said Aziz Ansari and you watch Master of None, it's such a, like, emotional, investing, and, like, personal show that, like, you really get invested in, like, his character. And then, like, I was just like you, I finished it, and then, like, 2 weeks later it was like Master of None season 3 probably won't happen, and it ended on a cliffhanger. And so there's that little part of you where it's like, I kind of wanted more. Like,
yeah, and slightly on that note though, like, because also in that show, like, they have an episode talking about how, like, women feel
you're like more vulnerable for the threat of sexual assault.
That's and then how they have it the ends. That's how the show ends. Is on a huge controversy of sexual assault.
Spoiler timeline. Alert. Sorry.
yeah, the whole chef timeline and sexual assault of like celebrities like tied into that. So then, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's just, I guess you leave kind of feeling disappointed and jaded, I guess, as just like an average person.
I think it also has to do with like where that artist is in terms of like their success. And like you're talking about like the collection of Chris Brown's music, right? You just remember him for his singles. And like you talk about like Michael Jackson or like anyone else like that who's like defined centuries of music. Decades, not centuries, right?
Yeah.
Decades of music.
Centuries to come.
Decades of music. And so like his following is just so much like greater and larger that it's almost like his popularity is the reason why he can surpass all the controversy that surrounds his artist versus art versus artist. And then also like you talk about skill and for me it's dividing up the skill and like if the music they make is something and then themselves is something. And if you enjoy their music, I mean, everyone's kind of got faults that they're working through. If you like view them as a human, all artists are like in one sense human working through something, all trying to be like better, and you just can kind of hope they be better.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because sometimes it actually benefits the artist. I was also reading about Snoop Dogg because he was on trial for murder in the 90s, and that was right about the time when Doggy Style was released, and because of the trial, it went 5 times platinum super fast, and he was acquitted and he was not guilty, but sometimes it can be beneficial. Like, do you think there is such thing as bad publicity? What do you guys think about that?
There's definitely like bad publicity in the terms of like it can, like the whole news about like all press is good press type of deal. To a sense, when it comes to sales, that's true. But I think in the last like 2 years, we've like seen a lot with the Me Too movement about like how bad press is like reputation ruining. Like it can destroy careers. So it's interesting to see like what artists over like the past 50, 60, 75 years that have had scandals and that have been brushed away and ignored due to like the achievements they've done, and which artists have not been ignored anymore. And a lot of reputations have been ruined, and a lot of reputations haven't been and have been overlooked, right?
Well, like a lot of artists are not even necessarily in the entertainment industry. Like, for example, like Marilyn Manson, he made music and he made art, and no one really like his crimes gave exposure to like his artwork. And then like I think it's still like being on sale and stuff, like his artwork and then his music and stuff, but it's not, I don't think it's him profiting off of it. But like with that in mind, it's also like is it ethical to kind of profit off of someone that horrible, like even if they did make good art? I mean, no, not Marilyn Manson, Charles Manson. Charles Manson.
Yeah, I was confused. It's all good.
Well, you bring up like
Marilyn Manson.
Well, no, it's a good thing you bring that up, like Marilyn Manson, because that was a whole topic. If anybody saw Michael Moore's documentary Bowling for Columbine, they actually tackle that and how like the modern media tried to blame the Columbine shootings on Marilyn Manson, and that's a different aspect, a different angle to come at separating art from artist. And if you watch that documentary, it's interesting because a lot of the spokes people of the NRA and all those news organizations that blame Marilyn Manson, their arguments were a lot like less educated than Marilyn Manson's. And I think his argument was like he wouldn't have said anything to the boys. He would have just listened because that was something no one did. And that's why those shootings happened.
Just kind of like on a related note, like I think that's like such a relevant issue now too, in terms of like how kids are exposed to, or like we are exposed to like technology and everything. I was just reading, it's like, but that's like present before. I was reading that apparently in the 90s, Mortal Kombat was cited in like Senate documentations for like violence towards kids and like bullying, and like that was a thing that led towards bullying. So it's kind of crazy how like at the same time we're ahead but also very slow at addressing these issues, and they've been here for a while. And it's interesting, I think you were talking about how the artists, like the old artists might have gotten off different than new artists. And I think at the same time, that's true. But also looking at how the old artists have also been the ones who seem to have grown past that. And when you think about like current artists who had maybe their time and fame back in the 90s or early 2000s, it seems like they've grown past all that and have been able to address the controversy in a much more progressive way that's like seems almost uplifting and hopeful towards the future than modern artists.
Yeah, I would say as much as I resent his music now, when I first started listening to rap, I was a huge Eminem fan, and he does have some songs that pinpoint that really well, that, okay, just because I say it doesn't mean I did it, doesn't mean that it's true, also doesn't mean that you should do it. I mean, like, Stan is, like, the quintessential example of, like, don't take everything I say so seriously. Like, you don't want to become a Stan. Like, you don't want to be that obsessed with someone and what they say in their songs, because it's not all true. A lot of music is about storytelling, about exaggerating. And
I think another aspect of the art versus artist issue is, like, music and how it influences culture. We're talking about Marilyn Manson and how people were blaming his music for the Columbine shootings in a similar way that a lot of maybe more right-wing as well as left-wing media would present gangster rap as being a motivating force behind, you know, people selling drugs and high crime rates, whereas artists who were exposed to those kind of situations would say, no, it's more a reflection of the society that we live in. Don't really have anywhere. I just, like, think that's a... they're connected to each other. It's like, does the what the artist talks about really reflect who they are, as in the same way that music influences the culture surrounding the music?
Kind of last point from me, anyone else want to hop in? They definitely can. But for, like, personally, I know I've kind of been hogging the mic today, but personally, one we mentioned earlier about where, like, to personally draw the line. Mine is, like, if I feel guilty listening to the music, and not just like a guilty pleasure, which we'll get into later on in the show, where it's like, oh, haha, everyone hates this artist, but I love them. But no, like, actually, like, thinking about what they did, and if you feel guilty watching it or not, or listening to it or not. Like, I know a lot of people love him, but for me, like, Michael Jackson. I hear a lot of his songs, and I know what he did for music, but I just can't help thinking about all those accusations against him in, like, the 90s about the Neverland Ranch incidents, which were not good.
Yeah, also kind of someone, like, along the same line, someone like John Lennon, he's been, like, he's kind of known now as, like, a really horrible person, but I think, I don't know, it's kind of, like, interesting that you bring up how, like, do I feel guilty listening to this person? Because on one hand, it's like he's dead, so he's not directly profiting off of, like, me streaming his music or anything, but listening to some of his stuff, like Run For Your Life, the opening line is literally like, if you cheat on me, I'm going to kill you, little girl. But so it's kind of like, I know he's not going to directly profit off of that, but it still kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. So where is it kind of like, okay, is it ethical to listen to that kind of stuff, even though you know they're not going to profit off of that?
I think this discussion is pretty similar to the discussion we had 2 weeks ago, I think, about religion and music. Because once again, if you, like, for instance, if you don't, how should I say it, if you're not keen on, for instance, Muslim culture or the Muslim religion, you still can listen to the artist who's mentioning, I don't know, Muhammad the prophet and every other thing about the Muslim religion. But you can decide to just forget about it and listen to the artist and forget about everything he did. And this is a huge problem because, as Gabe said, when you look at the Michael Jackson accident or the whole tragedy, it is a difficult thing to forget about. But people do forget it. Yeah.
So how do you reconcile with Michael Jackson? I guess this is a question for the room. Knowing that he did very bad things later in life with his early music, like, would you, like, not listen to the Jackson 5 because of what he's done? Or, like, how do you, like, do you feel like that it's fair to conflate those two? Or is it, like, or should those be considered distinct?
That's a good point.
Damn.
I think that Michael Jackson has, like, such an, I don't know how to say it, problematic story because he's been in the business since he was, I don't know, 5, I guess.
Around there.
Something like that. And he never got to experience his childhood, and he wanted to do that with Netherlands. Neverland. Sorry, Dutch people.
I think there's also a lot of uncertainty around Michael Jackson specifically with the details of what he did or what he may not have did. And that doubt that can be cast into your judgment of Michael Jackson means people can listen to the music and be like, I don't think he did this because he was never indicted or he was never actually found guilty of doing anything wrong, and so maybe he didn't do it and I can just enjoy his music. Whereas if he were found without a doubt to have done it, maybe public perception would be different. Just an idea.
I think there's a few things I want to put out there to maybe just think a bit deeper about this. I got some of these points from one of Fantano's videos, but I think these points aren't usually just said with art versus artists, because lots of time it's very one side or the other. So first, art isn't necessarily tied to one's morals. Consuming art isn't condoning an artist's actions. And we can admit that someone's art is good because they're a bad person. And lastly, negative actions don't invalidate someone's art. So what do you guys think of that? Because, I mean, when I listen to the Beatles, I'm not like, oh, man, John Lennon, oh, this is so bad now. I hate the Beatles. I can't listen to this anymore because I know what he did. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think you can acknowledge that someone's person or their lyrics are not good ethically or morally or whatever, but you can also acknowledge the other parts of, like, the other elements that go into producing that artwork, because it's not just the lyrics. Like, there's also, like, the band or the production, et cetera. So I think it might be okay to, like, acknowledge that that part is good, but you can also acknowledge at the same time that they're not that great of a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, adding on to that, that's something I wanted to say from the beginning, was that, like, it's important just to not stay necessarily ignorant to someone's actions or just blatantly ignore an artist's actions if they are problematic. That being said, I don't think it's totally valid to just say that you can, like, just to denounce all of their art, because, like, it could still be good, even if they're a bad person or if they've done questionable things. I think it's important to recognize their actions and say that they're wrong and maybe advocate against those and advocate for groups that they've either, like, been doing, like bad actions against, and just kind of, like, make people aware of it, even if you're not totally boycotting them. Another point I wanted to make was that I think there's such, like, a big difference between, like, big established artists and smaller artists. So if a big artist, say, like, Michael Jackson, if you stopped, or Chris Brown or Kanye or any big artist that you want to boycott, if you stop streaming them and you and your friends stop streaming them, it doesn't really make a big impact at all. You can just, like, go off, but you're still kind of contained in a bubble. You're not really making an impact, versus if someone in your local community or, like, someone in a band, say, like, is accused of sexual assault or is displaying, like, really bad, just doing really bad things, I think speaking out against that has a way bigger impact. So, like, just, like, community scales, right? Like, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm. I wonder sort of if the community scale is important, though, just from, like, an ethical perspective. Like, just because you know that you won't have as big of an impact if you stop listening to someone, does that mean that you shouldn't? Like, it's like a... It's sort of an issue of, like, it's like voting when you know your vote's not going to count. Like, do you still go out and vote, or do you just, like, go, oh, yeah, it's no big deal, it doesn't really matter who I vote for, let's do, like, a throwaway or something that's just be funny. Like, it's difficult for me, like, to just, like, I don't know. And, like, part of it for me is, too, like, some of the artists that I listen to, especially the artists that I listen to a lot, like, I sort of try to, like, I sort of fall in love with the artist as much as their music. And so if I'm listening to an album on repeat, like, I sort of, like, fall in love with, like, the persona of the artist that they've sort of put out there. And so it would be really hard for me to do that with an artist that I know is an awful person. Whereas, like, if I, but, like, I also don't know if, like, the merits of an artist, like, just as a person should be, like, why you listen to it. Like, if someone is just, like, a very good person and they give a lot of money to charity and they do a lot of good work, should you listen to their music because of that? Like, I don't know. Just things to think about.
I think that's a good point about, like, you kind of fall in love with the artist, because for me, and then connecting to, like, can an artist be good because they're a bad person? Like, I feel like sometimes I like listening to someone because I hear, like, the pain and struggle and the, like, the things that they hate in life in their music. Just, like, coming from example, my most recent person, and this is always on my mind, is I've listened to this artist called 070 Shake, and something about her voice is just, like, so painful and, like anguish that, like, I kind of love it listening to it, and it's, like, it's just really, And it's really, like, nice listening to it because it's like, wow, she's, like, going through a lot of suffering. And, like, at the same time, like, is that fair for me to listen to that? But it's interesting seeing how, like, their pain or, like, whether they're doing bad things or they're talking about bad things makes me, like, feel like there's other people in life who are going through similar struggles. And, like, despite this is what they're saying in their music or this is what they're doing in real life, like, the fact that they have different things going on in their life makes me feel more heard somehow. And that's kind of interesting. I think that's powerful, too.
I think I'd say... sorry, the mic just flopped on me. But, like, in response to that, like, I can understand that feeling of connection, but, like, if we're talking about people that are accused of, say, like, or have been, you know, guilty of things like sexual assault, like, as a listener, I mean, I don't know, are you trying to connect with feeling, like with... I don't want to take a big hot take and, like, attack you
no,
on this, I see what you're saying. Like, that's totally valid, I think, but, like, I think it's separate from, like, the issues that we've generally been addressing.
Yeah,
I think there's a difference between doing something because you actually need to do it to survive and doing something because you had an option in it. Like
doing something to survive and doing something that
as in like you mean like your
with.
Identity, yeah. Right? Like you connect to somebody because like that's their identity. Like they're a person of like whatever community that you are also. But like versus like they did certain actions that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could admit that there are lots of bad things that someone might need to do just to get by. If you're in a very poor situation or you're in a situation where you have to struggle that much just to make it, but there's also people who are in a situation where they don't need to do any bad things at all. It doesn't affect their well-being. It's just going to make someone else's well-being worse.
Yeah. That's a good point. I wasn't really thinking about that, but yeah, that's definitely true.
I think also with what you were talking about, that with hip-hop especially, I don't just speak for myself. When I say this, I think for a lot of us, the reason why we like hip-hop is because of the storytelling and because struggle is pretty essential to hip-hop. Like, if you look at the grassroots, it's not as common today because you have artists like Travis Scott or Gambino. Like, they were rich before they got famous. But if you look at someone like Grandmaster Flash or Tupac or someone from Wu-Tang or Biggie, they all start from a very poor background. Like socioeconomically, but also just needing to hustle and maybe needing to do some bad things just to get to the point where they're still surviving. So I think we have to highlight that too.
I think it's a tough question, yeah, as a hip hop fan, especially when like coming from like privileged backgrounds and not at all knowing what that life's like. At the same time, like glorifying that because you like listen to their music and you. Like, you don't have, like, an authentic connection in any way whatsoever. And, like, that's true now that, like, rap's, like, the number one genre most of the world.
North America, for sure.
At least North America, for sure, right? Like, most of us don't really connect with it. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's an interesting, I don't know, dichotomy, I guess, that's, like, problematic in many ways, but it's hard to...
Do you guys know the Immortal Technique?
Yeah.
He's got a song called Dance with the Devil.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Right, but... Yeah. Like, so what are your thoughts, like, when you listen to that? Like, is that...
I don't listen to that.
No. But you've listened, like...
I heard it a couple times, but I didn't want to go back to it.
Right.
That was too much, almost.
For people who don't know, like, can you give a deep briefing? Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know what this
it's
is.
It's a graphic story that involves a lot of violence and sexual abuse and traumatizing it's a really I don't feel comfortable talking about it because it's like listening to the song is like you have to be in the right state of mind, but it's like a 12-minute song that is has to do with sexual abuse, violence, and
some other
really
things.
Intense
yeah.
material yeah.
yeah it's a gang initiation and
yeah
the
yeah.
guy does some bad stuff
yeah.
I think we could use a less extreme example.
Yeah, sorry, that's just... What,
no, but it's important to bring up, though, that there are songs like that, there is music like that, where it's difficult to listen to because it's so...
I don't know, like, when you're telling that story about just, like, how hard times you got to go through and then eventually, like, make it to the top, I just went straight to thinking about Duckworth, the last song on Damn, Kendrick's latest album. If you haven't heard the song, basically... It's two sides of the story. One is about the rise of a gangster in Compton, and the other is about a cashier at a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And the climax of the story is when the gangster Anthony is the gangster and Ducky is the cashier. When Anthony comes in and robs a store, he has the opportunity to kill Ducky. But because Ducky has been giving him free chicken, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then later on, Anthony turns into Top Dog and Ducky is Kendrick's father. And the last line is like, if Anthony killed Ducky, Top Dog would be serving life while I grew up without a father and die in a gunfight. He doesn't die, he becomes Kendrick's.
Yeah. I think we lost your point in that whole story, though.
Yeah.
The whole point of the story is Anthony was a bad dude, and then he became Top Dog, and now we have Kendrick.
So how do you feel about that as a listener?
I like that song.
Cool.
So like that's the end of the story. Let's play a commercial.
One last thing. Listening to a song like that, or like any song that's by a person that's been through a lot, and like I as like a privileged white kid just have no concept for, but I love it, and I'm like screaming all the lyrics along. Like, is that fair? Like, am I allowed to do that? Is the music for me? Like, it's, I don't know. It's things that you have to come to terms with. When you're like, when it's music that you really love and someone has a thought, so sorry, we can't go to a break.
We'll keep going. Go ahead.
I mean, we have to look at it. Music is considered entertainment. So if you look at it from this perspective, you can scream out like most of the lyrics, I guess. But if you look at it from a personal perspective as an art piece, sometimes you can be quiet during concerts, in my opinion.
I would say it's important not to romanticize or glorify it, but what I like to do personally is I'll say, hey, this is cool. This is what hip-hop taught me that I wouldn't learn in school. Like, this is what it taught me about black history or some sort of woman's history in a way that I've never seen it before, and then I would show it with other people who don't know it. Like, someone even like my mom, and say, hey, this is why it's good. This is not all swearing. It's not all guns and about girls. Like, this is why it's good, and there is value in it. And I think if you can do it in that way, and you can always show that at least there's some parts of it that are positive and educational, then that's a great way to address it.
Also, like, I feel like an artist who kind of shares their trauma in, who shares their trauma within, like, some art that they produce, I think, especially if they're big and known, I think they're aware that they're putting out their art for other people to consume. So it's a matter of, I feel like, if you feel guilty, like, personally, rather than, like, is this okay for me to consume? Because I feel like that question is not necessarily, like, there's kind of an answer to that. And it's like, the artist knows, and they willingly put that out there for the world to see. Not to say that, like, it's good to, like, you know, shout out, like, lines of trauma that they've gone through or anything like that. Like, that's your call, but they're aware of that.
I think we're going to take a little break about halfway through the hour. And I think it'll be a good time for Gem of the Week, a bit of a lighter note. So, Gabe, you want to?
Right now?
Yeah, why not? Just go over. So, Gem of the Week is a new segment we're trying to do every week. And the point of this is to represent an artist from some sort of group or some sort of affiliation that is generally underrepresented and is sentimental to you in some way. So last week I talked about a song by a band, and one of the people in the band has autism because my older brother has autism. And this week Gabe has something that's sentimental to him.
I do. It's not so much like sentimental, but it's just more like amazing, I find. I like to listen to jazz music a lot when I study. And then I was doing some research for Gem of the Week this week. And I was wondering about, like, one of the most famous musicians with disabilities was Beethoven, who was deaf. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering who else is, like, making music and is deaf. Stumbled across this girl, this American girl named Mandy Harvey. And in her youth, she had infections in her ears growing up. Then she went to college for piano, and at the Colorado State University, she had every intention of becoming a vocal and music professor upon graduation, but then her hearing began to deteriorate, and she lost both of her hearing in both of her ears in freshman year. And then she went into a deep depression, but she eventually came out of it when she realized she could play the piano and use her perfect pitch to simply remember how to sing the notes. So something about, like, feeling and like instinct. She could play the piano and still remember how it would sound just by looking at her fingers and then replicate the sound without even hearing it. And she has a partner named Mark Sloniker, and she watches him as he plays the piano and she sings along. So just keep in mind with her next song, Smile, off of her album in, I think, 2009. Keep in mind, when she's singing, she's completely deaf. Here we go.
Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile on my baby tomorrow. You'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Trace of sadness, although a tear may be ever so near, that's a time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll see that life is still worthwhile if you just smile. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile on my baby tomorrow. You'll see the sun shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's a time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll see that life is still worthwhile if you just smile. Just smile. Just smile.
Yeah, go ahead. Jonah, what's the next song?
Hold up. This is called Where the Sidewalk Ends by Sydney Gish off of her 2018 album, No Dogs Allowed.
I wanna write a list. I wanna pepper it. rabbit cord in both my shoes for FOMO, just a scene. Characters will never get confused. I wanna play a song. Nobody in the world interprets wrong, but that's hilarious. At this point, everyone is caked in mud. That's all fine with me. Toe it on the line of reality and the mud in mind. Where the sidewalk ends is the only place we can be good friends.
Listen to Radio Pizza Party with Tristan and Jack.
Hear two grown men talk about the movie Chud and the quirks of the human condition with guests, segments, and music.
It's completely professional and serious. We're just bad at what we do.
Be a lot better if you knew anything about running the boards.
Well, Jack, maybe if you're a little more patient, I could actually learn and not feel like I have to be the maestro of the boards every damn time.
We've been doing this for a year. Listen to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9 FM, Friday nights from 6 to 7:30.
10,000 hours, Jack? 10,000 hours!
Last time I checked, there's more than 10,000 hours in a year, Tristan. You don't have a job.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. You're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Isaac. We just talked about art versus artist, and now we're going to transition to a new topic. We're going to talk about guilty pleasure songs. I think what we're going to do is just everyone go around and say a song or two, or maybe an entire artist that they feel guilty about listening to in some way. Entire genre.
Can we define guilty pleasure real quick? Like, what constitutes being a guilty pleasure?
ABBA. I'll talk about ABBA for a minute. That's my guilty pleasure.
There you go. Just a lot of disco music and a lot of reggaeton. I don't really know why. It's just fun.
For me, I know it's very bad, but I love Blueface so much. I can't stop listening to it. It's awful.
Personally, it's a few songs from the Disney original movie Lemonade Mouth, because Hayley Kiyoko was in there.
I, as much as I hate her, I love Ariana Grande's music. Like, it just bobs.
You stole Ariana Grande from me. I want to say one last time.
Yeah, mine's Ariana Grande too. I've seen her live. I'm going to see her again in Coachella. But yeah, Ariana Grande is my guilty pleasure too.
When I'm in a mood, and I'm not proud of this, I think For the Nights I Can't Remember by Headley is one song that gets me all the way into my feels. And when I'm in a good mood, Never Too Late by Headley. Really, just anything Headley is good.
Can I add someone? Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan is like cool guilty pleasure.
That's not it's not a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
That is just it's just a pleasure.
I'm from Europe, so yeah.
I would say a lot of Down with Webster. I don't know if The Killers counts for guilty pleasure. It's just pleasure, right?
Yeah.
Well, guilty pleasure doesn't mean bad, does it? What does it even mean?
Maybe it means you think they're like, I don't know.
I think it just means that it's embarrassing that, like, if other people were to find out that you were listening to the song, you would feel a little bit like a worse person.
What about AC/DC? Is that a guilty pleasure?
No, I think AC/DC is
sick. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's like all relative though, because there's some people you can say like, oh yeah, like this is my guilty pleasure. And they're like, what do you mean, man? Like I listen to that every day. Like I listen to Lemonade Mouth every day when I get home from work. But then other groups, you're like, Game's roasting me. Yeah, it's all relative, I think.
Yeah, I try not to be embarrassed about any of the music that I listen to. Like, I try to be able to, like, back it up and be like, there's a lot of music that I listened to when I was a kid, and I listened to a lot more, like, pop radio. And I'm like, man, like, that was kind of embarrassing. But looking back on it, that was, like, a part of me, and that was the way that I experienced music back then. And, like, some of the songs you listen back, and they're actually all right. Like, I listened to Bottoms Up by Trey Songz and Nicki Minaj the other day. That kind of, like, it slaps pretty hard. I'm not gonna lie. Like, there's like a counter melody in the beat. It's pretty dope. Yeah, it's all right.
Kind of like playing back to our previous topic, I think like a guilty pleasure, you shouldn't be guilty of like listening to a song that you enjoy, because that's just something you enjoy. Like that just makes you more genuine of a person. But I feel like a guilty pleasure could be like, again, like an artist who you know like you don't want to support or something, like a song, like a problematic group, and you are listening to it anyway. You do feel a little guilty. I feel like that could be a definition.
I don't know. I feel like my guilty pleasure just comes from like how embarrassingly like passionate I am about this artist. Like if someone knew like how, Bruno Mars, like I could not be a bigger fan of Bruno Mars. Like if you get me started, I could just go on for hours and hours. Dude, I could never. Bruno Mars can't do wrong in my book. No, he can't and he won't.
No,
he wouldn't do that to me. He wouldn't.
One of the first CDs I ever bought was Ocean Eyes by L City. Oh, and it's actually
Owl City. No, listen to that album a lot.
That album is amazing. It's so great.
There's like one about like strawberries or something.
Yeah,
or
I was just like, I'm looking at it. Yeah. I'm just trying to refresh. Where is that strawberry one? I don't know. I think that's on a different album.
Oh, okay. What about but there's a strawberry song by Owl City.
Black Eyed Peas.
I was gonna say that.
Like,
but
that was like elementary school and like middle school, and like listening to them was like. Like boom boom pow.
Yeah.
Yo, my humps. Oh my gosh. I do. I still know every word to My Humps.
What's that? That Will I Am and Britney Spears song? What is that one?
You're now rocking. No.
That one.
The scream one. Were they screaming?
Scream and shout.
Scream
is that
shout,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, I would.
It's like scream and shout and let it all out.
Yeah, that one.
I didn't know what that meant for a while.
So I want to bring it back to what Brenna was saying. How do we feel about guilty pleasure in terms of if the artist has done something bad or something you don't agree with? Is that a different kind of guilty pleasure? Do you have artists like that or songs like that, and do you want to exemplify that?
You told me not to say them.
I mean, let's just say it's just gonna happen, right?
No. We have a boundary.
Okay. Well. Does anyone else have an example that's not that artist? No?
If you don't know who we're talking
about,
No. I'm not going to say the name, but we talk about them every single week for the past like 6 months, so you can do the math.
I love Michael Jackson, and as much as like we were talking about it earlier, like I like his music was part of my childhood growing up, and like playing it in the house and like something my family all kind of like connected to, and like something we would all like play sometimes. So despite all that and like all the allegations that are false or not false, like that's part of my childhood, and like I don't feel guilty about listening to it. And it might be because it's out of place, out of mind, but I genuinely enjoy listening to the music, and it's like
yeah, same for me with like, I know I talked about like how bad of a guy John Lennon was, but like I love the Beatles so much. Like, how can you not? Like, Mean Mr. Mustard, Maxwell Silver Hammer, like, hello. Revolution.
Hello. You're holding the mic there, Sinead.
Well, you see, I didn't know that Tupac was, like, arrested for sexual assault charges. For some reason, I just didn't know that at all. I'd focus so much on, like, his positive, like, social activism stuff and just the fact that his music was so great. I agree with like the whole Michael Jackson point too. Like Michael Jackson just has a lot of fun songs that you want to listen to, and it's almost like, you know, so with somebody like Michael Jackson, not to say that he's not being himself when he performs, because I think he very much is, but he has this whole persona that is put on that is just so much separate from what might be going on in his personal life.
I think we're pretty much out of fuel for this week. We got a couple more songs to play anyway. Thanks for listening. This has been Word on the Street.
CITR Word Street.
Oh, yeah. Gabe has to do his job here.
Hello, hello, hello. It's that part of the show where we say follow us on Twitter at CITR Word Street. If you don't know what this segment is called, the segment is officially called Follow Us at CITR Word Street. We should get a theme song. Just letting you guys know, if you're in the car, don't do it while you're driving. If you're not in the car, then get your phone out. Or if you're driving, tell your kid to pull out their phone and follow you on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at CITR Word Street. If you're curious about how to spell CITR Word Street, it is CITR WORDSTREET.
Game, our listeners are smart, okay? Come on.
At CITR Word Street. This is student radio, so we are accessible to all students, even those in kindergarten. Follow us at CITR Word Street. Our goal at CITR Word Street is to break 50 followers in the next 2 weeks. Can we do it? I think so.
Also, drive.
Also, fun drive.
Fun drive's coming up, so get your checkbooks ready. In 2 weeks' time, we need to raise about $1,000 at CITR Word Street. Follow us at CITR Word Street on Twitter.
Jonah?
All right, we're going to close out the show with two songs. The first is The Opener by Camp Cope off of their 2018 album How to Socialize and Make Friends. Australian band, really good. And then a local group, Club Sofa, off of their album Club Sofa, a song called I Moved to Vancouver and All I Got Was This Stupid Nicotine Addiction. Hope you enjoyed the show.
I just want to give a shout out to Jem Jem and P, because you guys just followed us.
Let's go
on CITR Word Street.
Love you, Pally. I love you, Pally.
Shout out to Jem Jem and P. Oh, she's in the booth. Never mind.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Had to do it.
when the vibes are hot. When the bass drops, a lioness arrives. Watch me now. I wanna lay down on it, put some sugar on it, 'cause the rhythm's sweet. People, can you feel it? I wanna lay down on it, put some sugar on it, 'cause the rhythm's sweet. People, can you feel it? Watch me lay down on it. The bass drop like a hot stone. You got the highs and the low tones. The melody's righteous, gives energy to us. Sugar, sugar's so sweet. I wanna lay down on it.